It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we continue this study. Exodus chapter 24, we're going to begin reading with the third verse today. And so please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. I believe I said, maybe said 20, but it's Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. And while you're opening your Bibles to that chapter and book, I would like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to write to us. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, because we don't waste any time. We're right to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said will we do." And Moses wrote all these words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Come up to me unto the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up unto the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, "Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Ur are with you. If any man have any matters to do with him, come unto them." And Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went unto the midst of the cloud, and gat him up unto the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to end the reading there. Please, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Dear Father, we thank you and praise you that we have this opportunity to come and to enjoy this time together. It's such a joy and such a privilege we have to have your living word before us. Please, that we never take it for granted, we never abuse it or misuse it, but we always stand up on the truth and preach the truth and live the truth. Please, dear Lord, that we be good stewards of what you've given us. We ask today, dear Lord, that any person that does not know you as their Savior, that today they'll come. Today that they will turn their heart and their lives over to you and be born again. If they do not know you as their Savior, today is the day of salvation. So please that they come. We're going to be looking at the blood today. So please that they see the blood and that they understand the need of being covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus to have our sins taken away. please today that we have all that are lost listen ever so carefully and prayerfully and come. Please come. And we are to grow. We're to be growing each and every day closer and closer to you. So please, dear Lord, today that that be the case, that we are growing as believers, as Christians. And to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Again, I ask that we don't misuse or abuse that name, because we need to know what Christ is and who he is and how he walked upon this earth and how he expects us to live. And we are to live in like manner. So please, dear Father, help us to do just that, that we can please our God. Now please direct us in this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we sure enjoy the study of the Old Testament. I enjoy studying many different areas of the Scripture from one time to the next, while we are in the Old Testament normally a couple of times a week, and then in the New Testament a couple of times in the week. Right now in the Sunday school class, I'm in the New Testament. The message I'm preaching is in the Old. The study on Sunday night is in the New. The study on Wednesday night is in the Old. And then the ladies' Bible study that they have at Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock is in the Old Testament. And so you can see the diversity that we have. And so we also then the radio, we have the Old Testament is where we're studying right now. It's a joy, it's a privilege to study God's Word. We need to study it from cover to cover, and we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And so now as we look at this, we find, once again, this is kind of review here, but it was so important we need to touch on it just for a few moments. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said will we do." Oh, what a confirmation. All that the Lord had says we will do. And Moses wrote all these words of the Lord. You see, he didn't just take these words as he heard them and then spoke them. He immediately, by the hand of God, recorded them so that the next time that the words were repeated, they were repeated correctly and truthfully. You know, today it is so sad that we look at the Word of God and we find its truths. Now, if you have left the King James and went to some other versions that have been written, you may have already compromised, because I believe we need to stay with the King James. And we need to do that. And please, that you, if you have left the King James for something which you call easier to read, I ask that you return to the King James. Put that other one away and begin to go back to the King James and study the Word of God. It is not to be simply read. It's not to be easily read. It's to be studied, and it's to allow the Spirit of God to teach us. And in our hands and in our possession, the closest that we have is the King James. And so please, I have the old King James. I don't even have one of the newer ones. I don't like that. I like to stay with the King James, because God expects us to stand on the truth and cover it, study it, search it, and follow it. And so please that you do that. But I do want you to see that God did not want that chance. That's how important God's Word is. And that's the reason we have it before us. If you have ever played that game as a child where you'll start with a certain sentence at one end and then the children one after the other, and adults are no better, as you do that and it comes from one end to the other, and you may have told that story, and it may be a simple story, maybe just 5 or 10 words, but by the time it gets from the beginning to the end, if you go through very many children or adults, either one, that message has totally changed. It has nothing to do with the original message. God knew that would happen. God knew in our sinful nature that we can't repeat something right. We've got to put our own spin on it. Well, today, that's the reason we have so many religions, is because every man has put their own spin on it, and God didn't want that. God has His Word, and He has it before us, and it's in writing, and we need to stay with it. Don't say, well, today, you know, that's not the way it is today. Be careful, because there are some things that do apply to the nation of Israel alone, and there are dispensations of law, dispensation of grace, and that's the dispensation we're in right now, is the day of grace. And so we need to study the Word of God accordingly and properly due to its time, but be careful when you begin to change it to meet what is comfortable for you, because that's going to be a problem. There's going to be a serious problem there. I think one of the few, one of the many things that have been changed today, we see so many women that preach from the pulpit. We see so many women that teach the Word of God to men. And God is so clear about that, and that has not changed, that a man is to teach the woman, never the other way around. And that's part of the problem with the families today. Because, you see, we start with God being the head, and then we find that next in the family is the man, and then the woman, and then the children. And so today in the church, we must maintain that same authority. And when you put a woman into a position of a preacher or a teacher, then we have turned that role over, and God has never intended that. The head of the household, the spiritual leader of the family, is the man, and it must be the pastor's position too. And we're very clear where Paul teaches. He says the husband of one wife. He doesn't say the husband or the wife of one to give us a choice. There is no choice, and God's so clear through his Word about that. And yet today, people say that doesn't apply anymore. Well, I believe when we take the Word of God and we have that before us, and again, I'm going to repeat why that God had Moses to write it down is because he didn't even want Moses to repeat it by memory one more time. Moses wrote it down. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he begins, and we know that Moses is the recorder, the one that God used to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books. They call it the books of Moses, because Moses is the one that has written that. Many folks don't even like the Old Testament. They don't spend any time in those five books. If you don't understand those five books, if you don't know those five books, you're not going to understand the New Testament. You have got to study the Old Testament, and the minor prophets and things like that are just wonderful. They're beautiful messages to preach and to teach and to fellowship over. But the first five books of Moses, we cannot begin to understand God's full and his whole word until we know those books. And so that's the reason we're here, and I want you to see that. Moses wrote it down, and then he rose up early in the morning and built an altar upon the hill, under the hill. I keep saying upon the hill, but it was under the hill and under this mount, and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we have these 12 tribes that covers all the people, you see. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Now, we're going to see this all the way through the book of Exodus, and it never ends until Jesus Christ himself takes his precious blood and presents it to God the Father, his Father, in heaven on our behalf. And that's going to take place about 1,500 years from this time here. It happened 2,000 years ago. And if you're one of those folks that say the blood is not important, the blood doesn't represent anything, it's just the death that's important, well, you have missed the Word of God. You have missed God's plan, and you have missed God's salvation. Because if you deny the blood of Jesus Christ and its importance and its authority, you do not possess salvation, because there cannot be salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to understand. We say, no, Larry, it's the cross of Christ. That's where Jesus shed his precious blood. So yes, the cross is important. And yes, his death is important. And most, oh yes, his resurrection is so important. But there is nothing more important than his blood, because the blood is what has taken your sins away. That is what the work has done. And you can't, if you haven't seen that yet, then you don't possess salvation. You maybe got saved and didn't understand the importance of the blood. But if you are saved, you will understand the importance of the blood. And if you don't accept that, then you're not saved, because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it was the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that brought salvation to your heart. That's how it comes. And you must believe that. And you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. Kind of picture this. And half of the blood he sprinkled on this altar that he built, because that's where the sacrifice is going to take place, is upon the altar. And there's going to be an altar built here pretty shortly. And that altar is a brazen altar. Brass always stands for judgment. That's where the judgment was held. Now, Moses built this altar here under this hill, and he brought and come with the blood, and he sprinkled the blood upon that altar, because that's where the Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to come. And he's going to die upon that altar. And we know that altar to be a cross, a wooden cross that he died upon to save us. But this picture that we have here, this beautiful picture that we have. And so he took the blood and he sprinkled across the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people the very book that he has just written down. Our Bible. Now, it again, all he had was so far of what God had told him about. And God instructed him, and he wasn't here for the creation, but God told him about that, and he's the one that wrote it down again so that it would be recorded. It has to be recorded, because it can't be just by word of mouth year after year after year down through the generations, because we have such a testimony of that, of what's happened with the nation of Israel, because they have went from the truth and they have perverted it. And the way they did that was they compromised it. They put it into their way, their little spin of it, and it became a tradition. And that tradition today, when you look at what they and how they worship and what they believe, it is 90% tradition and 10% truth. Most of it is built upon truth, but they've perverted it by changing it to something that fit them a little better. Sometimes they went further than what God intended to do. And we have example after example of that in the New Testament. And it's still present today in that same means, in that same way. Now here, we find that he took the book of the covenant and he read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood. Don't miss this. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Everything is done by the blood. And we find it here in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. We find that same precious blood back with Adam and Eve when the skins were put up on Adam and Eve. God went out and he killed animals. And that blood, as it presented the picture, was put they put those coats on, and I believe those coats were bloody coats. I think the blood was still part of it because God wanted that presentation of it's going to be my blood that's going to save you. It's going to be the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, that's going to save you. And he wanted that picture, and he wanted that continual picture. And so he set that forward here, and he once again gives us that example. We have, as Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices, why did God not like Cain's sacrifice? It's because when he brought his offering unto the Lord, there was no blood. Abel brought the blood. It made Cain mad, and he killed his brother Abel. And so we see that God has always demanded the blood. He has always expected the blood because it was a picture of what was to come when he died on the cross and shed his blood. And we know, according to the book of Leviticus, and it can in connection with the book of Hebrews, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ presented that blood to his Father in heaven after he died. Finished. That's finished. Some people say upon the death of Jesus Christ, when he said it's finished, that was it. Well, we know it wasn't finished then completely because he had to raise from the dead. If he hadn't raised from the dead, there would be no life. The scripture says there's no forgiveness of sins. We must see the risen Savior. He must come out of that grave. So we know that there is more. That part was finished. But as far as our salvation and our eternal life, there's more. And we find that picture here. He sprinkled the blood across the altar, and then he read the book to the people, and then he sprinkled the people. And the people agreed. They agreed. They agreed to what they had heard. They agreed to the sprinkling. And we find Moses took the blood, he sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant." The promise that was to come. Oh, what a promise. The promise that the Son of God would come and save them. And you need to believe on that promise, he told them. And that promise was 1,500 years coming. But it come. We have the opportunity of looking back, and we know that event took place. You can't deny it. You can't forsake it. You can reject it. And many folks do. I hope that you don't. I hope that you don't reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, this precious blood. I get excited when I see the blood presented through God's Word. And it starts in Genesis 1:1 and it doesn't end. It goes all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation. That blood, that precious blood. We stop by the Gospels there. And when we stop by the Gospels, we see whose blood we were representing. We see the blood that was pictured through all the sacrifice of all the animals because it come to an end there. But that precious blood then went to the Father. And this whole scripture, there every word leads to that blood. So please don't deny it. Don't question it. Look at verse 9 now. "And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab, after the people had been covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, after the sacrifices had been offered," that picture. "Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were a body of heaven in his clearness." Now, we know that no man has ever laid their eyes upon God. And so when it says they saw God here, they saw an image, they saw something, a representation, but they did not see God. Because no man can look upon God in this sinful flesh and live, and we know that. Again, Scripture confirms Scripture. It's not my interpretation. It's word against the word. And so we take God's word and we put it against God's word and we come up with his truth. And so we need to know here that that this here was a time that they got to see some sort of vision of God, whether it was by fire, by smoke, as the Shekinah glory cloud was. We're not sure, but they come that close, and they saw there was under his feet a paved work of sapphire stone. You see, the miracle here, the wonderful look that they saw, whatever representation this was of God, the only explanation they could give is what he was standing on, what this representation was upon. And they could see it as sapphire stone. And so that's what they said. That's all they could come up with. The heaven in its clearness, the scripture says. And it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. This 11th verse. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me unto the mount and be there. And I will give thee tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Once again, it's going to be recorded. It's God's word, and we have that precious word before us. Please, I beg you, don't change it. If you have been in a religion of some sort that has altered it, and they say, oh, it doesn't mean that today, I ask you to seek the will of God, and I ask you to check your own heart to see if you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to check. Come unto me, unto the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stones, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. Oh, this is one of the first times we're going to find this man Joshua. He's going to come on the scene. Joshua's going to be Moses' replacement. Not going to be for 40 years, but Moses has a lot to teach Joshua. And it's not Moses' teaching, it's God's teaching. And we're going to see that Joshua is going to be a tremendous leader when that time comes. And we find him coming on the picture here on the scene. And Moses went up unto the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, H-U-R, are with you, and if any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Now we're going to look just a minute here. Most believe that this man is Miriam's husband, which is Aaron and Moses' sister. She is part of it through the time. We hear of her from time to time, but it's believed that this is that's who that is. That's brother-in-law, and so he is held in the position and the responsibility of caring for this 2.5 million, 2 million, 3 million, whatever it might be, people to care for them while Moses is gone. And so that is going to be their responsibility. And if you know the rest of the story, you'll find out they didn't do a very good job. But here we find that they're given that responsibility. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount. Now we're going to stop there, and we'll begin there next time, because it's very important that we're going to see this what happens. And you'll notice in the next chapter there, we're going to begin very quickly talking about fellowshipping over the building of the tabernacle. And we're going to find it's going to take a couple chapters here for us to do that, chapter 25 through chapter 30, to get the blueprints on this tabernacle, and then we'll proceed from there. And so I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. I hope that you enjoy the study. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you understand the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, that you look today to the Lord Jesus for his saving power. I hope that you're born again. I hope that you know Jesus now. But if you don't, please come. Each time I ask this simple, plain question, what are you going to do about Jesus?